We're thankful that Bill King is leading our music today. Mark Winstead had been with his father for about 7 days, and he went home to be with the Lord this week. So be in prayer for Mark. Mark and Sam have gone for the funeral in Rogersville, Alabama. It's about 4 hours away. It's on the other side of Huntsville. Mark has experienced a family filled with dynamics, and his parents cut themselves off from Mark probably 30 years ago. They didn't want him to be in ministry, and there were some other issues there. If I was a parent, I'd just thank God my child went into the ministry. I'd pray for him every day because it's not easy. So he's over there, going to go over and back today. The funeral had been yesterday. Four of our staff members were going over for the funeral, but we're unable to do that because of our obligations here today. So before I begin my message, would you mind lifting Mark up in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you that Mark's dad knew you as Savior and as Lord. And we thank you for the 8 months that you gave him here at the end of his dad's life to have a relationship reestablished. And pray today that you would be with those who officiate, that they would share from your word and would bring comfort. And I realize there are issues in that family that are still there, but I pray that you give Mark peace and give them a safe journey and use us to be a visible manifestation of your loving arms wrapped around him as he goes through the grief process. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning I just want to ask you a question. How popular are you? And I want you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15, verse 18 through 25. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Popularity becomes an issue for every one of us in primary and elementary school. I recall when I went to school, you were determined whether you're going to be popular or not for the boys by their athletic ability and the girls by their beauty. When I went to school in 9 schools in 12 years, back in those days, the way you dressed was very important. If you had an alligator or some dude playing polo, you were accepted in the school. If you did not, you're rejected. I want to share with you something. For some reason, popular kids make the rules for all their peers. Some research has been completed, and they found that during the primary and elementary years, if you're a student and you befriend an unpopular person, you will lose your friends and become unpopular yourself. When you're in high school, if you have Bible-based morals and ethics and you stand with them, you will not receive invitation for parties, nor will you be invited out on dates. When you get a little bit older and you are expressing your political opinions about your favorite candidate, there will be those who vehemently disagree with you. In the spiritual realm, if you follow Jesus, you will be hated. That's what I said. You will be hated. John chapter 5, verse 18 through chapter 16, verse 4, Jesus explains why the world hates Christians. Now listen to me. This is not a feel-good, easy listening message. I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's better to be loved by the one who loves us unconditionally and eternally than to be loved by people of the world. That's what Jesus is speaking about here in chapter 15, verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. I look back at Jesus when he was born. You remember there was a king back then, King Herod, who decided that he would try to find the baby and have him killed. The world hated Jesus. We're talking about the world as it is organized against God. And then at the end of his life, he is crucified by his own people, the Jews. He was hated by the Jews. Now the text that I just read for you, you can go back and underscore. The word hate there is used seven times in those eight verses. It is the dominant word in the passage, and the point is, friendship with Christ comes with a heavy price tag, the world's hatred. So Jesus said, I want you to be forewarned that if you're going to follow me, you're going to be public enemy number one. Now, let's see why the world hates us if we belong to Jesus and live for him. First of all, Christians should not share the values of this world. Verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. Now, Jesus insists that his disciples are no longer of the world. He said, you may be in the world, but you're not to be of the world. Those who are of the world are loved by the world. But the world's love is fleeting. It is disposable. But we find here that to be loved by Jesus is something that is permanent. America's becoming more and more secular. I was talking to a businessman in our church not too long ago, and he was talking about traveling to Europe. And he looked at me and he said, do you realize that most of the churches in Europe are now museums? I said, yes, I do. Do you realize how many churches are going out of business every month in America? There are 1,500 pastors that are either quitting or being fired from the ministry every single month in America. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to stand for Christ, you're going to be hated by this world. We're beginning to realize that the world will hate us because we're not of this world. Tim Keller said, the world doesn't like us because we'll never put the world and their agenda first. Therefore, the world will say, I can't trust you because I don't own you. Ladies and gentlemen, our citizenship has been moved. We're citizens proudly of America at some times, but we are born again, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. You ever think about who you are? Suppose the Lord comes along and says, I'm cutting off your profession. You're losing your job. You'll never serve in that capacity again. Suppose the Lord comes along and says, you're no longer a student. You're not going to be allowed to go back to school. You're no longer be allowed to be the father of all those children and all those grandchildren. They're all going to be cut off from you. In other words, say the Lord comes along and cuts out all your roots. Let me ask you a question. Then who are you? From whom and from what do you get your identity? Last week on Thursday, we had the prayer breakfast at the Forum. Chick-fil-A's a little short of help, so I told Ben, I'll come help you. It was amazing what happened. They assigned me a place. I had on the red shirt and khaki pants, and I was serving there next to a little girl. I think her name's Lisa, and she's just so precious. She's finished junior college and about to go to Georgia Tech to become an engineer, and I just came in, and Ben put me over here. He said, you're behind this coffee and juice stand. Serve these people when they come. I said, all right, we can do that. And so I introduced myself. I said, I'm Philip May. She said, she's Lisa. And so when people come up, now listen, I had to report to work at 6:30 a.m. I only do that when you're having a heart attack and you want me to hold your hand when you're going to glory. And so I was serving. They come, good morning, how are you? What can I get for you? My pleasure. After about 20 minutes, this girl looks at me and she says, you know how to work. I said, yes, I do. And we went on for a little bit longer. And in about 40 minutes, she looked at me and she said, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I work down at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church as their pastor. She said, you're kidding. Because we only work on Wednesdays and Sundays in 1 hour increments. That's all we do. She was absolutely shocked. But let me ask you a question. What do you do when your environment, when you're out of this area, and nobody knows who you are or what you stand for, then who are you? I want to be known as a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ and not this world. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got one of two options in our society. We can cower or we can be tough. It's easy to hold to these truths, but I know God, I believe in His truth, but I want you to know it's another thing to live it in front of other people. Second thing I want you to see here is the love of the world is conditional. Jesus insists that He chose us out of the world for the purpose of salvation and service. It's better be loved than liked. Second reason why the world rejects Christians is that we're identified with Christ. In chapter 15, verse 20, it says, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Jesus calls his disciples to remember. And ladies and gentlemen, let me qualify this a little bit. There's some Christian people, they say they're Christian, they're absolutely obnoxious. Some Christian people are sandpaper people. Some Christian people don't like to do anything but argue. And they turn around and say, I am persecuted for my faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the person I'm talking about. That kind of person is a very foolish believer. They're not spirit-filled. They're not spirit-led. I remember when I was in high school, the hippie movement began. That's when the bell-bottoms came in, and then the long, long, long hair, and then the little speck glasses. And look, we knew the kids in school that were on drugs. And I'll never forget, there was one named Alan. He was the ringleader. His dad wound up being my marketing professor in college. His dad was kind of buzzed most of the time too. But there were a lot of kids that were looking for acceptance, so they got involved in the drug scene as well. I could just go down the list. The ringleader was crossing a four-lane highway right after we graduated from high school. He was high on drugs. He was hit by an automobile and killed. Another one's named Wally. Several years after school, he was hooked on drugs and alcohol. He was on a ladder one day while his inebriated fella hit his head. He was killed. And on it goes. And you see, people in the school were just trying to look for acceptance when all the time they should have been saying no to temptation. And the Bible says for us to flee temptation. I want you to know that the love and friendship of this world is very conditional. They'll only love you if you do what they want you to do. Now notice this, the world is also ignorant of God. Listen to me carefully. Lost people act like lost people, and we should not be surprised. Look what he says in verse 21, chapter 15. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. So the world will persecute Christians because they don't know God. There's a huge difference between knowing God and knowing and experiencing God, the one true God. Our persecutors don't know the one true God. They persecute us on account of their hatred of Christ. Now, this is hard not to do. When people oppose your Christian principles, don't take it personally. Well, that's hard to do. Jesus says, don't take it personally because they hated me, you love me, and he said, slave's not better than his master, so they're going to hate you as well. Did you know that your neighbor or your classmate or your coworker may have never read a Bible? They may never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them before right here in America. When Coach Mark Rick was fired and he accepted the job at the University of Miami, he got the team together, and I want to tell you, he inherited a mission field. But I want you to know that's a private school. So as far as Christianity, he can do anything he wants. So he told the whole team, he said, you're going to chapel. We're going to have chapel, and everybody's going. Well, they kept coming, and nobody had a Bible. So Coach Rick got up in front of the class and chewed them all out at chapel for not bringing their Bible. Got mad and went back to his office. While he's in his office, one of the players came by and said, Coach, do you know why people not bringing a Bible? He said, because nobody owns one, and most of our team can't afford to buy one. Coach Rick felt like dirt. So he told his administrative assistants, he said, order Bibles for every one of my players and charge it to me personally. They're people that act like they're act because they're ignorant of who God is. Now, I'm not being disparaging. I'm not being critical. Although the world may choose to reject Christ, we're accountable to share Christ and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ verbally with other people. Now listen, unbelievers are not held to the same standards as Christians. Unbelievers are supposed to sin. I'm going to tell you what, if I wasn't saved, I'd be serving myself all the time. I just live for myself. And I just sin, I'd be a world-class sinner. I'd be in the top five in the nation. But Jesus Christ lives within me through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And through his word, and the Holy Spirit convicts me on how to live my life. Now, having mentioned the world's ignorance about God, Jesus spends the next four verses explaining why the world doesn't know God. Look at verse 22. He argues that the world is guilty because they've rejected Jesus' words. He says it like this. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. He's not saying that men and women would have been innocent if he had not come or spoken to them. He said the world was already sinful and rebellious before the coming of Christ, but Christ's coming highlighted human sin. Look at verse 24. Jesus argues that the world is guilty because they have rejected the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. Jesus did all kinds of miracles, healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, fed thousands. He raised from the dead. He calmed the sea. Yet the world rejected his works. And in some cases, the world even attributed Jesus' works to Satan. No matter what Jesus said or did, the world chose to ignore him and rebel against him. And even the death and resurrection of Christ didn't convince his enemies he is Lord. Look at verse 25. Jesus argues that the world is guilty because they've rejected the Old Testament. He said, but they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Today, if you stand against abortion, people in this nation are going to hate you. And the reason is there are people in this church, in this world, that are not born again, that don't see things the way that you do. The governor of Iowa last week signed a bill saying that if there's a heartbeat detected in the womb of that mother, abortion is prohibited. I think, and let me tell you, this is going to the Supreme Court. It's already being appealed by the liberals, people who are lost, they're spiritually blind. I want to tell you why people hate Shorter University. Shorter University has a policy for all employees, whether you cut the grass or you're dean of a school. You got to sign this, that you're a born-again believer. Doesn't matter if you go to a Baptist church, Methodist church, where you got to be born again. You cannot participate in or affirm alternative lifestyle. No public use of alcohol. Now, why in the world would anybody have problems with that state? But I'm going to tell you, we've had some people who signed that statement who actually lied. And most of them are not with us anymore. And so on the local radio station, you'll hear commentaries about all the hatred, non-tolerance, Shorter University. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to pay the money to send my child to a Christian school, I expect the professors to be practicing Christians. Now, what's wrong with that? But Rome, Georgia doesn't like that because you have so many liberal people and so many lost people. We're in spiritual warfare. If you're living for the Lord, listen. People see that you're not politically correct. Somebody told one of the members not too long ago, we visited Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. We love the music, we love the preaching, but we found out that your pastor doesn't use alcohol, so we can't come to that church. Well, praise God. I can give you some in the city limits. They serve it at their Bible studies. Crisis Pregnancy Center offers pre-health care to our ladies. It's grown so much through the years. Ladies who have an unwanted pregnancy now can go for counseling. And now we're a medical center, and we can do sonograms. Most ladies who have an unwanted pregnancy, thinking about abortion, if they can experience a sonogram, hear that heartbeat, and see that little baby on the screen, most of them decide that they'll give birth rather than have an abortion. But do you know that's not popular? In some states right now, where there are care pregnancy centers, and they go by different names, the for-profit hospitals and diagnostic centers are seeking laws to be enacted so that a care pregnancy center has to be so many miles away from the hospital or the diagnostic center. Because if they're getting free sonograms down here, down the road, it's tearing up the bottom line for the for-profit diagnostic institutions. And I understand they're for a profit, and that's their purses. But we're talking about saving lives. Why in the world would you want laws to prohibit free sonograms so that we can save about 85% of the unwanted babies in America? But Jesus, the world thinks you're crazy if you think like that. Jesus' words could be proved to be overwhelming, so he brings up the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you'll testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. In the midst of the world's hatred and rejection, the Spirit provides comfort, encouragement, and strength. Jesus said to the disciples that they still have a responsibility to provide a witness to love and truth found in Christ alone. Notice here in chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, Jesus discusses the topic of persecution. These verses don't refer to the worldly people in general, but to the hostile religious leaders. Did you know our greatest enemies in Christianity are not really the liberals? They're not the atheists. They're not the agnostics. Those who are seeking to persecute Christians are religious zealots and their leaders. Chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling." These things refers to Jesus' words, but in chapter 15, verse 18 through 27, the only other instance the verb stumble is used in the gospel is chapter 6, 61, where it includes the idea of no longer following Jesus. I want you to know that what's going on in our world now, the persecution is coming from the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhist, tribal wars in Africa over people's Christian beliefs. Look at 21 through 25 in chapter 15. Back then, you'd be put out of the synagogue if you belong to Christ. That means that you're cut off from a place to worship. It means the loss of an entire circle of friends who attend the synagogue. It's a social persecution, but even death will be the lot of some of these people. You think about the disciples. 10 of the 11 were killed for their faith. Then Paul was murdered by Nero. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. Think about James. He was beheaded. John, he was banished to an island. The early church were persecuted. They were persecuted by the Jews. These verses also seem to have an extended relevance to today, though throughout the world, Christians are being martyred, and we don't realize that. Charles Stanley wrote a book several years ago called Confronting Casual Christianity. And he's right. We're concerned about our ease, comfort, and pleasure, not the cost of being a true disciple. The reason that the religious folks persecute and kill Christians is because they don't know God. The ones who persecute do not know the true and the living God. Jesus says in verse 4 of chapter 16, "But these things I have spoken to you, so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you." He's talking about future persecution being a possibility. Brett Baer, Fox News, January the 12th, 2017. He reported that in 2016, 90,000 Christians were murdered worldwide. In the last 10 years, 900,000 Christians have been murdered simply for proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that every 6 minutes, a person is killed because they proclaim Christ. If Henderson and Son hadn't been so busy today, what I really wanted to do is to let them bring in 10 caskets. Every 6 minutes, one person is killed in our world for our faith. And what I really want them to do is every 6 minutes, just wheel one casket down to the front and off to the side. In another 6 minutes, I wanted to bring them another casket just while I'm preaching my sermon and put it over here. And at the end of the hour, we would have had 10 caskets end to end from one side of this building to the other. You know what some people say? "You shouldn't have exposed my children to that." Some of you are concerned about what time you're going to lunch today. I want you to know that There are people in this world that are not living according to ease, comfort, and pleasure. They're being martyred for their faith. A martyr is anybody who's lost their life prematurely as a result of human hostility. 70% of those killed in tribal fights in Africa. 30% of Christians lost their lives of act of terrorism, destruction of Christian villages, and government persecution worldwide. The Center for the Study of Global Christianity says that highlighting the number of martyrs gives some dignity to those who have died. We can't even get together in America and get prayer back in our schools. We don't have that much backbone. We let the liberals outshout us. We wonder what's wrong with our schools. Our schools, did you know our public schools are crying out for the help of churches? Middle school principal in our church put on Facebook a few weeks ago, please come to my school on Saturday morning at 9. We just want to do a prayer walk. The kids are out of control. Well, no wonder. The home's broken. Will you stand? Well, what should we do? First of all, share the love of Christ. We got to learn we're hated and persecuted to avoid fighting back, being combative and harsh and vindictive, and that's hard. We got to show the love of Christ to those people. Number two, study about persecuted Christians. Most of you have heard of the voice of the martyrs. Just go to persecution.com, go to Open Doors USA. Pray for these people that are Christians in North Korea. Pray for people in Sudan, China, India, Saudi Arabia. Ask the Lord to give you a holy boldness to follow in the example of these brothers and sisters. And number three, stay focused when you're persecuted. It's often been said that prosperity has been fatal to Christianity, but persecution, never. Instead of dreading persecution, learn to revel in it. Luke 6:22, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." Jesus promises that those who suffer for His sake, He'll give you temporal and eternal rewards. So it makes sense to pay the price in this life and experience Christ's pleasure and joy in the life to come. Wealthy young Christian centuries ago was in love with a beautiful girl. He had everything going for him, but he lived in the Roman Empire. And the Roman emperor made a decree. He declared Christianity is an illegal religion. Everybody had to confess verbally, Caesar is Lord. This young man absolutely would not say Caesar is Lord. He said Jesus is Lord. Caesar had him arrested, had him sentenced to death. While he was there in his cell, he wrote his fiancée some very passionate letters about his love for her. But this didn't have a good ending, because in AD 269, on February the 14th, this man was put to death because he proclaimed Jesus is Lord. His name was Valentine. And I want you to know that February 14th is not really about Hallmark cards and love letters and chocolates and expensive dinners. When you go back into the history, Valentine's Day is better understood when you find there was a man named Valentine that laid down his life for Christ. You know what he found out? it's better to be loved by the King of Kings than liked by the world. You know what concerns me? The majority of teenagers in any Christian church, when they go off to college, only about 10 or 15% stick with their faith. Some of them never go back to church again in their entire lives. You know why that is? They want to be popular. They want to be popular with the world, as it's organized against God, rather than standing with your eternal friend. He is your Lord, King of Kings, Jesus Christ. You know what I watch a lot of people do? They're adults and they live for the Lord for a long time, and the next thing you know, they're over here with the world, and most of them never return over here because they just want to be popular. I didn't say if you're popular, you're not living for Christ, did I? I did say Jesus wants to be your main friend, your Lord. And when you're persecuted for standing with Him, He said, just stay focused on me. Pray. And what did Jesus say on the cross to His persecutors? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Second time I'd heard Pastor Wally at the forum Thursday, originally from the Philippines. He's a little fella, but I think he's 99% backbone. He felt called to be a missionary to Saudi Arabia. He started little churches. He was caught. And the king of Saudi Arabia sentenced him to death. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was flogged over and over. Sometimes all night he was in a 3x4 cell. This went on for a long time. They go 3-4 days, no water, no food. He said, that became my prayer closet. He said, I wanted to see my wife and my daughter. Finally, one day, his wife was allowed to stand some distance from his cell, and she shouted out, you'll be released on December the 25th. And he said, I know you ought to listen to your wife. But it had been 1,400 years since the death sentence from the king had been commuted. He said a general of the prison came. The general came, he usually stood outside, but this time the general stuck his head in to this 3x4 cell and said, are you Pastor Wally? He said, yes. He said, I don't understand why, but the king has pardoned you. Tomorrow you'll be moved. December 25th. He was taken out, chained and shackled, driven to a local airport. They rolled out a red carpet. He was escorted by the general. They took the chains and shackles off, took him to a private room and asked him, what you want to eat? You can have anything in the world. He said, I'm not concerned about eating. I want to see my wife and my daughter. They said, that's impossible. Wasn't long before his wife and his daughter came in. Where do you want to go? I want you to fly my family and me to see my mother. Can you imagine being a missionary in Saudi Arabia? Now he's in Sacramento pastoring and training missionaries to go into Muslim countries to lead people to Christ. Is he popular? Is he an encouragement? I go back over 40 years of ministry, and I feel like a bad chick when I put my life in ministry next to his. But that's an inspiration to me. I don't need to accept political correctness and the ways of this world that do not know the true and the living God. I need to stand for Jesus. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes closed?